Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, what's happening? How are you today? Tink and Tierney company for the Tink and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home, much more than a house. The home of your dreams for 30 years. They've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Hopefully you had a good weekend. Let's be honest, if you're a sports fan, how the hell could you not have a good weekend? Listen, here's the deal. There's so much stuff going on. Rob Manfred coming in with heat.
Wow.
That just broke about 40 minutes ago. We're going to push the Major League Baseball stuff to hour number two. Here on Tiki and Tierney, the national championship coverage and stuff. Hour three, our buddy Lee Bryce, a big Clemson player.
He played, yeah.
He played there, and he was a long snapper. He's out there, of course, for the game. He's going to check in from the Bayou, so we'll do the college football of the third hour. Listen, we're starting with the NFL. Beginning with training camp, every year we are all willing prisoners of the sport.
Can't be helped it.
It's the way it is. We're up late on Thursday. We're up late on Monday. We're up, 7-plus hours on Sunday, little respite, back up late on Sunday night. You die with your teams. You gamble. You hope your quarterback is healthy for your fantasy team that usually never wins. But I got to be honest with you. You know, this 5-6 month commitment that we all so willingly make doesn't always yield the dividends that we want. Sometimes you get a little anticlimactic finish. Are you kidding me with this weekend?
Yeah. I mean, the only game that wasn't like that was the San Francisco 49ers.
But I can argue their defense was so epically good. That was interesting. Fair, but it wasn't, compared to the other three.
There wasn't drama in the game where you were like, oh, man, what's going to happen here? Man, you're down by 24 of Kansas City at home? What the heck is going on here? And then you come back and you score 51? It's unreal, unbelievable. 51 points in three quarters, BT. And then you have Lamar Jackson, which may be the biggest upset or upsetting moment for fans who had jumped on his bandwagon. Because Lamar Jackson, I mean, he was the man. He had an MVP season. He learned how to throw the ball a little bit. He's the most dynamic quarterback, running quarterback that we've ever seen. There's been a lot of them. Mm-hmm. But he's the most dynamic one we've ever seen. And then he gets in the postseason and he lays an egg. More importantly, it's really just the three turnovers that were the big issue. He played fantastic other than that. Mm-hmm. But Derrick Henry. I mean, you see this every
week.
We've
never seen this.
We've never seen this. Someone who is, they threw the ball 14 times.
Yep.
Well, actually 15 because he threw one for a touchdown. They threw the ball 14 times. They toted it 38 or something like that, or 39, and they won a playoff game. I mean, what is this?
Well, they did the same thing the previous
week. But what is this, 1968?
If it is, I kind of like it.
I got to tell you what, I love it.
Oh, you better love it.
You know why? Because it's not just Derrick Henry, smashing you for 3 yards and like let's man this thing up for 3 yards. I'm gonna get three in the second, and then on third and four, I'm gonna get 4 yards. You know what I mean? It's not the kind it is. No. It's like I'm coming through the hole. I'm making you make a business decision, which I know you're going to turn down, mm-hmm. which these safeties are turning down, and then I'm gonna go 50 yards, down into the tight red zone. I mean, Derrick Henry is one of the most compelling players that we've known about for a long time, but just haven't maybe paid attention to. Because he's big, he's dynamic, he's versatile, he's got the jump pass in his repertoire now. And for the last 2 weeks, he's beaten two teams, not single-handedly, but pretty single-handedly, that no one gave them a chance to be on the field with.
This was incredible. And you really knew right away that Tennessee was razor sharp. You knew it right away. And you know what? You kind of knew right away that the Ravens were a little dull. Because even the first pick, which obviously goes on Lamar Jackson's stat sheet.
Yep.
Mark Andrews, we talked about the issue. Mark Ingram didn't finish the game. That was one of the – by the way, I took the Titans on the money line and the points.
Oh, nice.
And I did the money line late, just a smaller play. But I loved them all week at 4.5 points. I didn't know if Ingram was healthy. I didn't know if Andrews was healthy. And we saw right away, and Dan Fouts said this on the broadcast – yeah, it was maybe 3 or 4 inches high from Lamar Jackson.
Yep.
But he had no verticality going up to get that ball. Gets ricocheted, to get the pick. And all of a sudden, you're like, whoa. And then you see the two fourth down conversions when the Ravens were 8 for 8. They were perfect during the regular season. 0 for 2 that night. Everything, Everything from a timing point of view that the Titans did was flawless.
Yeah.
Everything from a timing, or most things from a timing point of view for the Ravens was choppy.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Now you wonder, going back to the beginning of the season, you remember Coach Vrabel appeared on a podcast with Taylor Lewan.
You might want to have that one back there. Yeah. Well, this well, is what about may, the, well, the, may, well, what, may, the penis comment?
Maybe he did. Let's, if you don't remember, here's Coach Vrabel.
If we win a Super Bowl, will you get my name tattooed in your body?
Your name? No.
What would you do? Matt Neely said he would cut off his
for a Super Bowl.
For a Uno Super Bowl.
Would you cut your off for a Super Bowl?
Oh, been married 20 years. Yeah, probably.
You've got three.
As a player, cut off. I guess we'll be married for 20 years one day.
If you came home holding a bag of ice, I had to cut my off, honey. We're going to win a Super Bowl. She'd be like, eh, all right. Or would she be upset?
She'd probably be on board.
She would be like, do you want me to do it? You want to do it now?
Man, I mean, listen, hey, look, you know. Look, I mean, come on.
Yeah, no chance ever. But no. It's a fun conversation. Not really. But I got to tell you, this is Mike Vrabel. Like, this is him. Like, he's still got a player's mentality.
I love him.
And he's at Ohio State, you know, one of the greats. Started his career in Pittsburgh. Then he goes to New England. And he really encapsulated what Bill Belichick is all about, which is whatever it takes, right? If you got to, you know, move the middle linebacker, even if you're a rush in, move the middle linebacker. This is things Mike Vrabel did. You know what? We're gonna try to confuse a defense and put you in as a wide receiver or a tight end. Go catch a touchdown pass as a prize. They're going to think you're blocking, but we're going to chunk it to you. That's what they did. By the way, he caught 10 passes in his NFL career. 10. All of them for touchdowns. Every single one
of
them.
That's amazing.
It's unreal.
Is that the most amazing stat in the history of the NFL?
He's got to be one of the most versatile players. And it's an important point here in a second. Most versatile players in the history of the NFL. Because he played outside linebacker. He had 57 sacks in his career. He was a linebacker inside as well because the Patriots had trouble with their middle linebacker. I think Bruschi got hurt, so he moved into the middle.
You know, tackle machine.
Tackle machine. He had 16 interceptions in his career. You line him up at tight end. He's 10 of 14 in receptions, and 10 of them are touchdowns. It's unreal.
That is amazing.
But it's exactly what this Tennessee Titans team feels like, mm-hmm. right? Whatever
it does.
Whatever it takes. If we got to throw the ball 14 times and turn around and hand it off for 30 to Derrick Henry, and it's ugly, but we're going to win? You know what? We're going to do that. There's no need to
feel... LeGarrette Blount on his best day was half
exactly.
of Derrick Henry.
I agree with you,
still. Whomever was back there running the football for the Pats was half of Derrick Henry.
But it's the personality. You can feel
Corey Dillon, I don't care who it was.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
Derrick Henry is ridiculous. He's got 4-5 speed.
I agreed. But they all are buying in. All of them. The whole team, from offensive side to defensive side. Look, Lamar's going to get his. He had 500-something yards of total offense. But you know what? Mm. We're gonna intercept him. We're going to play tough. We're not going to let that – like that because there's like a wave that overtakes you when Lamar Jackson starts to get going. We're not going to let it overtake us. We're just going to hunker down and keep him kicking field goals, which is exactly what they did.
Yeah, you know, I certainly don't want to start getting two X's and O's here and get all nerdy. But, I mean, in the most simplest form – they were able to do what conceptually I think every team wants to do, mm-hmm. but almost no team has been able to do, with the exception of maybe the Browns in Week 4, which is the last time they trailed in a game 7-0 after the first quarter before the and that is to get Lamar Jackson to go wide.
Yeah,
if you get him going toward the sideline rather than at you, you have a puncher's chance.
I saw an interesting breakdown of the quarterbacks that were left. And it was interesting. Really, the stars that were left, the MVP quality quarterbacks were left. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers was one. Tannehill played like one, but he's not one. Pat Mahomes, obviously, MVP quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Lamar Jackson's going to win the MVP. But the difference between like Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers and even Pat Mahomes is that when you get down,
yep.
right? When you get down, it's almost like you're putting them in their element,
mm-hmm.
right? What does Pat Mahomes want to do? He wants to scramble around, go, you know, be creative, you know, throw it across his body, find Travis Kelce, and, you know, throw for 312 yards and 5 touchdowns with no interceptions. Like, that's his element. So mm-hmm. when you force him into that element, meaning being down so the only thing you can do is throw the football, you're playing into his game, right?
Yeah.
Same thing with Russell Wilson. When Russell Wilson is down, he's always going to find a way to come back. And if the Green Bay Packers had not gotten that last first down and given
we think they got.
Yeah, you know what I mean. But if they had given it back to Russell Wilson, are you Would you have been surprised if he would have took the ball down the field and scored and won?
I would have lost my bet.
But
I had the Packers.
But would you
five.
Have been surprised?
No.
Exactly.
No.
Exactly. I was terrified. Right. Aaron Rodgers is the same way. Lamar Jackson hasn't developed that yet.
I know he hasn't.
And so when he's down, yeah. he's not in his element at all.
I'm happy you bring that up because I do think there's a bit of an overreaction to, again, the numbers were there, but, you know, watching the game, Lamar Jackson was certainly far from his best.
Yeah.
If Lamar Jackson did that every week, he's not winning the MVP, to put it in the simple,
no,
even with the
not.
Numbers. But I do think that, you know, and I know he played a playoff game last year, and it was ugly, mm-hmm. maybe the ugliest one of all time, one of them, where against the Chargers. And, you know, I think that it's easy to try to devalue his season.
I agree.
It's so unfair. He is such a young kid.
He's 22,
he's
man.
He's still learning.
He's 22.
Peyton Manning's, I know, that's why I say I know we played a playoff game a year ago, but Peyton Manning's first playoff game, no touchdowns, no picks.
Yep.
He was like 16 for 35 for a buck 60 something.
Yep.
Even Joe Montana, I went back and I looked at Joe Montana's, because late in his career, the John Candy moment, 89,
mm-hmm.
I think that would have been, against Cincy. He at that playoff run, he was 8 touchdowns and 1 pick. But early on, even though he won a lot of games as a young quarterback in the NFL, his touchdown to pick ratio for his first 7 years, I want to say, was 17 to 15. I had this written down somewhere.
Yeah.
But it was far more pedestrian than you would have thought.
That's right.
Look, Lamar Jackson, relax. The kid's tremendous.
He's fine. Again, and I'll say it again. He's 22 years old. At 22, Peyton Manning threw 28 interceptions.
Yeah.
Right? He was not winning an MVP.
Uh-huh.
Lamar Jackson's going to win the MVP. He's still got game to develop, that's for sure. But you got to remember, the guy who's playing for the national championship tonight,
mm-hmm.
Joe Burrow, is older than Lamar Jackson.
That's right.
Think about that.
He is.
The guy who's playing for the national championship tonight, Joe Burrow, and he might just win it, is older than Lamar Jackson.
So, think about how much older Baker Mayfield was.
That's right. So calm down on Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
He had a bad day. You're given bad days, especially against teams that have strong and, I think, focused defenses like the Tennessee Titans do. Plus, you have a run game that just dominates you on the other side of the football, so it's almost impossible to get back in any kind of groove when they're just turning around and handing off and Derrick Henry's ripping off 10 yards every single time.
You know, the other thing, too, because we're obviously going to be bouncing around a lot, you know, John Harbaugh can coach my team any day of the
mm-hmm.
week. He had a rough night at the office.
Yeah, he did.
And I thought it was really, really on the pretty obvious radar, the final minute and a half of the second quarter. What in the heck was he doing? He had 3 timeouts.
That's right.
Now, part of that's on Lamar, mm-hmm. and it's awareness, and it's not so much instinct, but it's repetition.
Yeah.
You know, 2 years from now, Lamar's going to run those. He's going to know, I think, inherently a little bit more so what to do.
Well, there's the urgency.
What are you doing there,
it's the urgency.
Coach Harbaugh?
The urgency thing, it wasn't communicated, right? It didn't feel like the urgency was right. And when that happens, mistakes start to surface. And so throughout the course of that entire game, I felt like there was a rushed nature to how they played. And that's not how they played all season long. They were always felt in control.
And they played downhill.
They
that's picked exactly up right. speed, and they were a front-running
that's
team.
That's right.
And, so, I know that has a negative connotation.
Yeah, it's true.
But it really shouldn't, because if you're good enough to jump on teams in the NFL, there should be nothing negative attached to that.
But the hard thing is, if you're not used to playing from behind, you just don't know how to do it.
That's true.
You know, it's a different mentality, and there's a different urgency, which you didn't feel with this Ravens squad.
All right, listen, we just there. By the way, there's more news here. Lou Now, and we're going to get to the Major League Baseball stuff in hour number two. Lou Now, the GM, and our buddy AJ Hinch, who's been on the show a lot, just got fired.
Yeah,
they just got fired. So, you know, you had Major League Baseball's hammer, which dropped about an hour or so ago. Now the Astros independently, Cora's got to be sweating. He's got to be sweating his brains out. He's next. I mean, he's absolutely going to get crushed. The Red Sox are in a lot of trouble. We'll save the commentary for hour two, but that did just happen. Coming up next, though, can anybody stop Kansas City?
Mm-hmm.
Can maybe the Niners defense? Maybe. What a scene at Arrowhead. I mean, you have the chief mascot seemingly inconsolable, banging his head. CBS kept running this, you know, banging his head on the locker room door. And then he's basically pounding beers with the fans. I can't believe what I saw yesterday. It was incredible. That was just, man, oh, man. We have a tendency to almost expect greatness and water it down. Do not water down what happened in Arrowhead. We're certainly not. What Patty Mahomes did yesterday, you won't see for 50 more years in this league. That was insane. That's up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Howdy, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line on this incredibly jam-packed, wildly crazy, insanely nutty day. It's 855-212-4227. I live for days like this in our biz. God, I love this stuff. All right, Geico, of course, is who sponsors the call. Whether you're, a new read, whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. So get a quote at geico.com, easy. All right, by the way, Pete Rose was booked tomorrow without any knowledge of this drop-in with the hammer that has just disintegrated, just reduced the Astros to splinters.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that coming up in hour two. But Pete Rose booked tomorrow, and Terry Francona is booked for Thursday. I just started to dive into an article in the New York Post. I think it was Joel Sherman. It was a very, very quick dive because you and I were talking during the break. I'll read it next break more thoroughly. That whatever you think the Astros got, wait till you see what the Red Sox, what Cora's getting.
Really?
This is nothing. Yep.
Wow. So, why? Because he was associated with both.
Yeah, I have to read the article more, but this is absolutely insane. All right, the thing about Patty Mahomes, right? And we'll do national champion stuff, national championship stuff coming up in third hour. Five-star rewind next. So think about anytime somebody is in close proximity to you and they have a ball in their hands. Okay. Just think about this. Yeah, I think everybody can relate, because nobody can relate to what Patrick Mahomes actually does on the football field. So we can relate to this. So this past weekend was Colton's fifth birthday party at the trampoline park, and we did the dodgeball, and you know, like when a little kid runs up to you and they got a heavy ball in their hands, you don't know where that thing is going, if you know what I mean. So you kind of like, you know, well, I know I'm putting my legs together,
yeah, you're
I'm
right.
protecting certain parts. I don't care if you hit me in the face. I don't want to get hit down there, right? And I remember as a first baseman, like if there was a bunt and the pitcher fielded it and it was like in close proximity to first or second baseman, like a little slow roller, and he gloves it, he's off one hand, and he throws it sidearm to me.
Yeah.
You're like, where's this thing going? It's going high, low, picking it, left, right. That's the kind of throws that Mahomes... So as much as we laud, rightfully so, the throws that Mahomes made, the catches by Kelce were insane.
Yeah.
No, Those are tough balls to catch.
Look, three touchdowns in a playoff game. The last time, I think Casper did it. Dave Casper did it way back in the day.
Raiders.
Yeah, exactly. But Rob Gronkowski is the only one that you'd put in that category. Someone who is that dominant and that integral to the functioning of the offense, that's Travis Kelce. And I got to be honest with you, he's better than Gronk because he's more athletic.
I agree with you.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
Travis Kelce is like he's like a big wide receiver more so than a big tight end.
So is Kittle.
And Kittle's, so the, Kittle, Kittle's the same way. You're right. These guys were, you know, in a bygone era would be Ed McCaffrey's. You know, and they'd be that receiver. They'd be
15 pounds lighter?
They'd take 15 pounds off of them and say, dude, you're never getting down in the tackle box, but go out there and be a great wide receiver. That's who Travis Kelce is. And better than that, though, BT, is that, I guess more important than that, he and Pat Mahomes have this, I mean, it's like a sixth sense. It's uncanny because there were two touchdowns that were scramble touchdowns. I mean, traditionally, big catch down the middle of the field, he breaks a tackle, he goes and scores a touchdown. That's great. But when you're in the tight red area and it's much easier for defenses to corral the most important receiver, because Tyreek Hill down there, what's he doing? You know what I mean? He's tiny. He's going to get lost in the mix. You're not throwing him fade routes. So it's really all about Travis Kelce. Plays break down, Pat Mahomes starts scrambling, taking off one way or the other, and it's like he's playing backyard football with Travis Kelce. And the crazy thing is that they always connect. You know what I mean? It's like, all right, I'm gonna shift left. You're going to come back right. I'm going to throw it down low at your ankles, and you're going to be right down there to grab it and corral it. And it happens over and over and over again. And my point is, it's not designed. You know, nobody's designing this. This is what we're going to do when this situation happens. It's just, you got to understand what I'm going to do, and I'm going to understand what you're going to do, and then make play after play after play after play. It's fun to watch, to be honest with you. Sometimes watching, like, elite execution is fun to watch.
Of course.
Improvisation is almost even better.
Yeah, I hear you. That applies. Even, like, you know, some of the old wrestlers that I used to like as a kid, the ones that were able to just kind of go off script and do something wacky from the top rope.
It's and
like,
make wow, it that's, work.
Oh, of course.
Exactly.
For sure. This didn't work. Bill O'Brien. Mm. Oh, Bill O'Brien. He was asked directly, this has to be a tough one to answer, after that kind of a loss, he was asked straight up, is he to blame?
Yeah, I think we gotta. We definitely have to coach better. Yep. We didn't do enough to put our guys in good enough positions to make plays. We definitely have to do a better job of coaching.
Player, there are some people who think that by going for the fake punt, you know, and doing some of the things that they did when they were up, there was a sense of desperation that a team or lack of confidence, however you want to frame it, that a team invariably will pick up on.
Yep.
I'm not so sure that I subscribe to that, but I didn't play. But before you get it, I want to at least say this. It's a great play call.
Yeah.
I mean, who was it? Sorensen made the tackle?
Yep.
You got the one situation that you probably worked 5 months on, diagramming,
that's right,
implementing, film room, practice field. You got the matchup that you wanted.
That's right.
You had 20 yards of space, one-on-one.
That's right.
And the guy made a great
tackle. And that's all you could do. And then, I mean, I almost put it on I forget the runner's name. I almost put it on him. Make a guy miss. You know what I mean? Not be denied. And
that's a great tackle.
He got tackled clean. That's why it looked like a great tackle. But you got to challenge him. And the problem is, if a runner is not used to being in that open field type situation, he's such a disadvantage because he thinks he can run around. He thinks he can run through, and it's not that easy. You know what I mean? Like, as a lay fan, we'll sit and watch. Like, why do you do this? It's calculated making moves in the open field. And it was.
But doesn't that make the design even more? I think it was Reed, the safe. Doesn't that make it was Reed?
Yeah.
Was it Reed? That's why I thought the design. I didn't consider that point about.
Yes.
I just think football player open space. It's easy, but obviously you're not used to it.
No.
But the fact that it went to Reed, wouldn't you think that theoretically that would surprise Kansas City even more?
No, because any personal protector is in that position for a reason. This is why the Taysom Hills of the New Orleans Saints are so valuable.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's tough. He can go tackle you like a safety can. He can catch the football if you need to throw it to him. He can throw it, hell, if you really need to. And he certainly knows how to run in the open field. Like, it's a skill set. Like, I think a lot of people don't think about the skill set of being a specialized athlete. Not just an athlete or a football player, but a specialized athlete takes a certain skill. And it's learned, right? It's not that, you know, a DB can't be a wide receiver. It's just that a DB hasn't been skilled, hasn't learned the skills to be a wide receiver. And so when you put a safety in a running back type situation, it's just not the same, right? So I don't fault the play call. Actually thought it was, I mean,
innovative.
Look, innovate. Do what you got to do, man.
Was it unnecessarily risky, though?
No.
Forget about the result for a second. Yeah. Conceptually, you were okay with it.
I mean, in this age of football, is anything risky?
I like what they're saying. You know, we got to score some points, man. Yeah. That team's not dead.
Exactly.
They're going to score 40-something. We got to get there, too.
Exactly right.
That's like, why I didn't have a big problem
with
it.
I think that they knew that the Kansas City Chiefs, and look, I knew this, you knew this, the Kansas City Chiefs on paper, and certainly in execution as well, were significantly better.
Oh, God.
And
miles.
So to have the lead that you did and to know that, man, we can't give them extra possessions because you know what's going to happen? They're going to go score on seven straight touchdowns. I mean, think about that. That's not unusual for them. So if I'm Bill O'Brien, I'm thinking the same thing. I just don't put a safety in that role.
Okay.
The problem is that
if you put somebody else, then they know it's coming.
Well, exactly. So that decision goes all the way back to training camp, like way, way back. You got to have a bigger running back who can be your personal protector.
And run through an arm tackle.
Or know how to make someone miss.
Yep.
Or get a defender off balance so that you're not running into a textbook tackle.
Well, we heard Bill O'Brien's pretty candid response about whether or not he was to blame for the loss. Deshaun Watson was asked about his head coach, and Deshaun Watson had his back.
No doubt. I mean, you might have doubt, but there's no doubt. I mean, I love that man. I'm going to play hard for that man. And, I mean, y'all can say whatever y'all want to say, you know, through all the media and all the writing, but as long as I'm at quarterback, he's cool with me. You know, he's got my heart. He's going to get all my 110% every time I step on that field. So y'all can say whatever, but I'm going to always be rooting for that man and going to play hard for him.
That's a good job by Watson. All right, we're not on the Texans. We're not Texans fans, so let's speak objectively on Bill O'Brien. Anybody, and you're going to get these lazy hot takes today, Bill O'Brien's horrendous. Mm-hmm. Bill O'Brien's not horrendous.
No,
Bill O'Brien
not.
Wasn't horrendous at Penn State, and he hasn't been horrendous and admittedly at times horrendous AFC South.
Yeah.
He's won a lot of divisional titles. If the division was better, maybe he doesn't have as many as he does, whatever it is, four or five. Bill O'Brien's certainly competent. Then I'm not going to waste time on that. But I will say this. He's played two playoff games this year, and now he's home, right? He wasn't ready to play against Buffalo because they were getting shellacked 16-0 to start at home. Mm-hmm. So you can question the element of preparation, and they weren't savvy enough or prepared enough to finish in their second playoff game. So he's certainly solid, but there is a ceiling, and I think we've seen it with Coach O'Brien.
Yeah.
This
and
is
again,
a ceiling.
And again, I will say this again. The Kansas City Chiefs were the better team. They got caught off guard and were down 24-0 before you knew it. But never in my mind was I saying this is going to be a 30-whatever-to-nothing shutout. And I didn't think that one second.
No.
And the Kansas City Chiefs proved that. Look, we saw this earlier in the season when who'd they play where they scored all their points in the second quarter and then no points in the first? No, Raiders. They played the Raiters.
The Raiders. The Chiefs had four touchdowns at the Coliseum in the second quarter.
That's right.
And no points the rest of the game.
And no points the rest of the game. That's just who they are. Mm. And sometimes they're going to be a little slow, but once they start firing, forget it.
And it's going to be a different game against the Titans. It's such a contrast in styles. We have all week to get into that. Don't need to belabor it now. Tighten up. Tighten up. So happy for the Titans. Thrilled for Andy Reid. Let's face it, the Ravens lose the night before, so the one seed is gone. We all know the story about Andy Reid trying to win his first Super Bowl. He's been to one, but can he win? And then he's down 24-0 at home. The Boo Birds are out. Then it's dead silent. It's like they're stunned. You're like, is he gonna choke again?
Andy Reid's in top six of playoff wins at 13. Of the top 6/7, he's the only one without a championship.
Yeah, he's got to crack through. And on the other side, a good Niners team, a very good Niners team, and a good Packers team, although I think you and I both think the Niners are better, without disrespect, and some of those great throws that Rodgers made down the stretch to seal it, which we'll certainly circle back to as well. We got it all crammed in for you. Five-star rewind is next. Hour two, baseball, maybe the story of the year. Manfred not messing around, and flames around the Astros organization in every direction. So we'll get that. Matter of fact, Axe got the particulars now, and we'll get back to five-star rewind after Axe update, which is coming at you right here. Getting to the Astros stuff, top of the hour here. Tiki and Tierney, first up, before we get to a little five-star rewind, it is time to Ask the Pros, where you get a chance to ask us anything you want, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Just tweet us at CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag Ask the Pros. Make sure you stick around. Listen later on. Teek and I will answer the best one. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. So a wild weekend rolls right into a wild Monday to start the week. The Astros just destroyed by Rob Manfred. That's at the top of the hour. The repercussions, the residue from the cheating scandal. Red Sox, you're up next. Third hour, we'll get to the championship game tonight. Oh, yeah, by the way, undefeated Clemson's playing LSU, which has never had this kind of season in their life.
Oh, that's right.
Offensively, or also, in their career, in their existence.
Also undefeated with the Heisman Trophy winner, who's going to be the number one overall pick in the NFL draft.
I don't know which way to roll money-wise tonight. Yeah, I felt so good about LSU for the last 2 weeks. I think I'm creaking into Clemson territory.
The problem is you start, and we'll get to this in the third hour. Yep. We're not going to dig into it now, but you start looking at the stats, and like we have this thought that Clemson is inferior this year because of that North Carolina game, or maybe because they just weren't on the national, like as high on the national radar.
We took them for granted.
Consistently in the top four, but not necessarily as talked about as they were last year. They've given up 11 points a game.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean?
I know.
So they lost all these guys on the defensive side of the ball, three defensive linemen in the first round, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Isaiah Simmons, et cetera. And it's going this year. So
he's in the back.
This year, still in the back, but he's young. And so we're like, this is a different Clemson team. No, it's not. It's the same Clemson team. We just haven't talked about him.
It's going to be fun. And Lee Bryce, our good buddy, the incredible, the worldwide known musician, star, he's out there. He played at Clemson as a long snapper. He's a maniac. He goes every year, so he's going to check in. The great Lee Bryce will check in here at about 5:20 Eastern, so a little less than 2 hours from now. But before we get into anything else, time for a little five-star rewind. Let's go, D-Cell. What you got, buddy?
Buckle in.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazed dogs. That's some fun.
Here's your latest five-star rewind.
Hello?
Tiki and Tierney give you the best highlights from their top five games over the past weekend.
I know I'm going to get got, but I'm going to get mine more than I get got, though.
Here we come. It's a man's game now.
All right, here we go. We start Sunday's nightcap. We go to Lambeau Field. What do you know? Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, a little magic. Oh, yeah.
Ball to the left hash mark, 40-yard line of Seattle. Rodgers under center, single back offense. Jones the lone back, fake to Jones. Rodgers deep drop looking. Pops it over the left side. Devontae wide open. Outside the numbers 20. Cuts it back right past Flowers. 10 to the 5 to the end zone. High stepping. Touchdown, Devontae Adams. 40 yards.
That is how it sounded. Wayne Larrivee doing his thing on the Packers radio network, and that would make it 28-10. Obviously, Seattle would mount the comeback. What a sick route, though, by Adams. Turned his defender around, planted the foot at the 20, and showed the burst to get to the house.
Yeah, Devontae Adams had a fantastic day with Aaron Rodgers here. 160 yards and two touchdowns on the afternoon. Aaron Jones, who's been the catalyst for a lot of the year for the Green Bay Packers, also put two into the end zone. But this game came down to it, and we hit it briefly earlier with the Green Bay Packers having to hold on to the football one more time to keep Russell Wilson from getting an opportunity. And remember at the beginning of the season, we were talking about Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers, and then when can you audible, when can you not? Well, Matt LaFleur caught a slant for Devontae Adams on 3rd and 9. Aaron Rodgers audible it because he sees a rookie defender on top of Devontae Adams, and he throws a sweet pass down the right sideline that keeps the chains moving. Ultimately, another controversial 3rd and 8 was what people will talk about, but it was that one. It was a big catalyst for this Green Bay Packers team to keep the Seahawks from getting a chance to win it.
You got to put a few of those throws in the all-time time capsule.
That's right, and that one was.
Oh, for the one to Rodgers. Adams. On the right side.
You're right.
Right over the shoulder, the boundary, not a ton of space.
And I wonder if Aaron Rodgers saw the rookie, because the kid is Ugo Amadi.
Yes.
He's from Oregon.
I talked about that on Tops. That was a great matchup. I thought they'd exploit.
What are you doing?
He's a rookie. Not a good spot top right there.
Not on Devontae Adams, man-to-man.
No,
cover
no.
Cover one.
No. And even the other one, when he threw it flat-footed, yeah. I mean, that was maybe even a tougher throw because he had guys coming at him. The window was closing for the receiver. Post-game, Aaron Rodgers got the dub.
These are the moments that you work for and you think about in the offseason, the chance to put a game away. And like I've said, you know, most of the year, as you guys have talked about, the aesthetics of our wins, it doesn't have to be pretty. But what we've done is closed out games the right way.
Yeah, he went on to say as well, even some of our fans weren't sure if we had it. You know, a little motivational tactic for A-Rodge, not a bad thing. Meanwhile, the Packers now, 7.5-point early dogs. That's a Fox game, Conference Championship Sunday, 6:40 Eastern at Levi's Stadium. We'll get to them in a little bit. Final score, 28-23. Patty Mahomes, we go to Kansas City. Ugly early, but the rally was fierce.
Shotgun snap, Mahomes rolls left, looking to throw. Now going to run, throws for the end zone instead, and it's caught by Kelce for the touchdown. Mahomes was dangerously close to the line of scrimmage, and instead he sort of shot puts it into the end zone where Kelce makes the grab, and the Chiefs take the lead 27-24. They were down 24-0, and the shot put forward pass by Patrick Mahomes gives Kansas City the most improbable of playoff leads.
It's an outstanding call. Outstanding call. That is a money call by Kevin Kugler. Good stuff, man. Westwood One Sports and Tony Romo would be valuable, as would our buddy, you know, Gene Steratore. Had to review that as well. Was he over the line, the heel, part of the body, as long as it's behind the imaginary line, blah, blah, blah. A little tricky, but, man, that was, you talk about improvising.
Yeah.
Magic
this wand. This was spectacular. This was a spectacular watch. Down 21-0 in the first quarter. The Kansas City Chiefs outscored the Houston Texans from that point on 51-10. And they took the lead by halftime, down 24-0 in the second quarter. This was vintage Pat Mahomes. This was Pat Mahomes that we saw all last year when he won the MVP for the Kansas City Chiefs. Got to this point last year, they came up a little short. So you know that Andy Reid, and I'm going to say it now, the best coach in football not to have won a championship with his 13th career postseason win, which is 6th all time. All the other guys on that list have championships. Andy Reid does not. Frank Clark, you remember him? Came over from a trade.
Three sacks
for the Kansas City Chiefs on the Houston Texans, Deshaun Watson. This team is working very well on both sides of the football at just the right time.
51-31, the final. Post-game, Mahomes says, you know what? We were still good to go despite the sizable deficit.
Didn't want to be in that spot, but the biggest thing that I think I was preaching to the team was, let's go do something special. Everybody's already counting us out. let's just go play by play and just put our best effort out there. And, I mean, obviously I knew our, as a team we had to kind of – everything had to go the right way, but I thought the defense stepped up, special teams stepped up.
All right, so stepping up next will be the Titans. We'll get to them in a moment a little bit more directly. Kansas City's going to host Tennessee. That is coming up on Sunday. CBS, going to be all sorts of awesome. Kansas City, big favorites as well. They're laying 7.5. And speaking of Tennessee, it's not just down your throat with force. Also a little tricky. How about this one?
Mariota's out there. Now Henry takes a direct snap, throws a little lob pass over the middle, and it's caught by Corey Davis in the back of the end zone. Derrick Henry, the running back, plays quarterback here, and he finds Corey Davis for the score on third and goal, and Tennessee goes up 20-6 with 6:54 left in the third quarter. What a wrinkle.
Oh, man, a little jump stop. We've seen that before from others, but and then we saw the video of him throwing bombs in high school. Derrick Henry has all sorts of talent. Brandon Gordon on the call, Westwood One Sports at that point. It was 21-6, final score 28-12, and Lamar Jackson, all the MVP praise, and rightfully so, stand-up leadership post-game as well.
We just beat ourselves. You know, we had a lot of, well, I had a lot of mistakes on my behalf, 3 turnovers, that shouldn't happen. But, you know, they came out to play. You know, we just started off slow. You just got to do better next time, but everybody hate losing. You know, I wanted to win this game, my team wanted to win this game, coaching staff. Just got to move on. Like I said, get ready for next year. It's in my head right now. I don't know how long it's going to be, but can't do nothing about it right now.
See, that's what you call leadership right
that
there.
That is exactly right. Now, you saw him speak after last year's playoff disappointment. He got exponentially better in this year in his MVP season. It won't be exponential next year, but you know he will be refining his passing game so he can come from behind, as we talked about earlier in the show, BT. Ryan Tannehill only completed 7 passes, and heck, one of them accounted for over half of those, 45 yards to Khalif Raymond, which was a bomb down the middle of the field. But when you have Derrick Henry doing what Derrick Henry does, throwing jump passes, rushing for 195 yards, and having 204 all-purpose, you're going to win a lot of those games. It's old school, it's ugly, but it's Mike Vrabel perfect.
And I don't think it's ugly, because both of the touchdown passes by Tannehill were high degree,
right,
and the catch with one hand to go up 7-0, and even, you know, we've seen this a lot from Tannehill, not afraid to lower the pads and try to find the end zone. So we had 3 total touchdowns. Absolutely amazing. And just to reiterate, CBS coming up on Sunday, 3:05 Eastern, the Titans tighten up, still standing in Kansas City. Chiefs -7.5. And finally, the Niners. Nice combo of defense and a little Tevin Coleman on the ground.
7 straight 49er runs. They're going to give it to Coleman on the shotgun run for an 8th consecutive run. Touchdown! San Francisco!
Feels great, baby!
Just running all over them.
That really feels good, the way the offensive line just dominated that series.
All right, Greg Papa, Tim Ryan, a little T-Rock on the Niners radio network, and really, Kirk Cousins' play action was taken away. Mm-hmm. The Niners, my doppelganger, get him a head coaching job at some point, Coach Salah, will you? With the great tan. He did not get the Browns job, but you have to think that Mike Zimmer, listen to these comments. I mean, this is a little zing at the offense here. Yeah. Zimmer on the Vikings.
Well, I think that we had some called and we didn't throw them, you know, so just, you know, we threw the one to Diggs. We had a couple others called during the course of the game, and for whatever reason, they didn't get done.
Ouch. And he mentions the 41-yard touchdown pass to Diggs. Teague, if you take that away, Kirk Cousins threw the ball almost 30 times for 130 yards.
That's pretty pedestrian. And he was efficient. Like, his completion percentage was all good, 21 of 29, but he just wasn't very effective. Dalvin Cook didn't get going at all in this game, only 19 yards on the ground, no touchdowns. Stephon Diggs is the one touchdown that they did have. But on the other side, I mean, we talk about old school with the Tennessee Titans. This was kind of old school with the San Francisco 49ers as well. They only gave up 10 points in this game. All those 10 points coming in the first half, they shut it down when they needed to shut it down on the defensive side of the ball. And then offensively, they toted the rock 47 times. Mm. Obviously, 4 of those are by Jimmy Garoppolo, but 43 times to running backs or end arounds, Debo Samuel. This San Francisco, Tennessee would be an interesting old school grind, man.
I wouldn't be mad at that.
I wouldn't
mind seeing Mahomes, too, let's be honest. But, man, I think anything we get is going to be sweet. So, Titans, Chiefs, Packers, Niners, that was a move to Conference Championship Sunday. The Astros get whacked. That's next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.